Good morning, everyone. Boy, do I feel unprepared this morning. I was going through some books and things that I wondered, what should I take with me and to camp and so on. And I found this little book that says, "Are You Ready?" And it's a little book put out by ADRA. And that is a question that I guess we all ask from time to time. And we go to meetings and the preacher asks, "Are you ready?" But what is it that we need to get ready for? We need to get ready for Jesus to come, right? Because we want to go to heaven with him. But in a sense, that's a little selfish, isn't it? If we're thinking about us, me, I want to go to heaven. Right, right. And so we are not, we do not believe in the rapture as some of the churches teach it, right? We don't necessarily think that we're going to be walking along the road one day and just be whisked away. No, we're told that there's a time of trouble coming, right? Are we ready for a time of trouble? And should we be worried about it? We shouldn't be worried about it if we're prepared. Some of the things in this little book, it's talking about, are you ready? Well, you know what ADRA represents. ADRA represents, the disaster and development and relief and so on. So this little booklet is telling us all about what we should do to get ready for an emergency. So I would like to ask, you, if you're ready for an emergency. Now, emergencies are things like floods and thunderstorms, tornadoes, blizzards, earthquakes. When my daughter was teaching school in Port Hardy, BC, on the northern end of Vancouver Island, they not only had fire drills, but they had tsunami drills. They had cougar drills. Because there's, cougars in the area that, a lot of people have been, attacked by cougars. So teaching the children how to be ready and how to respond in those situations if they face a cougar, for instance. We are facing a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are we prepared? And how do we prepare ourselves? Well, we're talking about prayer. I just want to read some of the list of things that it suggests that we do to prepare for an emergency. There's a list that they say we should post a list of important and emergency phone numbers, etc. Teach children how to call 911, install smoke detectors. Then it talks about an emergency survival kit for your home. How many of you have an emergency kit in your home with water and, a few supplies and so on? Well, I'm glad to see that some hands went up. But I have to say that I have not been very prepared myself. And this has kind of been an awakening because we just need to be prepared for whatever is coming on the earth. We don't need to be afraid but we need to be as prepared as we can be. And we're told that there's a time of trouble coming such as there never was before. And, you know, sometimes you don't know how you're going to react to something until you get right into it. But the more you can prepare yourself, the better, you know, the better off you're going to be. I've been thinking quite a bit of that lately. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you haven't had very, very good health this past year. Achy bones and, you know, knees and ankles and hips and my head and my shoulders, my knees and my toes. and so what I was thinking is, you know, what if instead of the government helping you out in an emergency, what if you have to run from the government because of some crazy Sunday law or something? And I thought to myself, boy, you sure wouldn't get very far. You know, you can't even walk from your house to the road. And thank goodness for our morning prayer call. And thank goodness for Claudine's inspiration to me. Claudine is in the habit of getting up in the morning and going for a morning walk before it's even daylight while she's on the prayer call. And I said, why can't I do that? I can't walk very far, but if I just go up and down my driveway, I'm right there by the house, you know. And so that's what I started doing. And I can walk. I'm surprised myself that I can walk from my cabin to the prayer chapel and back. Last time I was here, I could not do that. I had to drive my car down there. So it is amazing when you decide that you want to be an example, a good example of a good example, and not a good example of a bad example. I think that's a quote from Winona. And so, what does prayer mean to you? Talking to God. Talking to God, giving him a to-do list. We have a tendency to bring God our to-do list when we pray. And we have a tendency to complain when things are uncomfortable and not right. If we praised God as much as we complained to him, wouldn't things change in our lives? It's a habit that we need to develop, I believe, praising God. And some of the inspiration that I have, besides this little Are You Ready ADRA book, that was mentioned yesterday in one of the meetings, or maybe Friday evening, that the warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. And Ellen White says, the yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. And Jeremiah says, you will seek me and find me when? When you seek for me with all your heart. Does God have your heart? Are you seeking him with all your heart? I find myself falling short of, you know, I pray every day that God will teach me to pray as I ought and not to pray amiss. And I ask God to bring people or situations to my mind that he would have me pray for. I often pray for an unknown person, someone I have no idea, but I believe is in a crisis, and I believe needs somebody to pray for them, for God to go and rescue them. And still, I don't feel like I pray the way I ought. So how do you pray as you ought? Repeat the Lord's Prayer? That's a good start. Why don't we do that? Can we all repeat the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, that's what he taught them. But we know that John 17, practically the whole chapter, is Jesus' prayers. And many of that, those prayers are for us in our day, that we be strengthened and that we not faint. What about criticism and fault finding? Do you find a lot of that goes on? Maybe more than maybe is. Yes, right. Well, I personally and our prayer group has very much enjoyed Leif Kester's little book that he put together, 50 Days of Praying Against Criticism and Fault Finding. And we went through this book twice, and we could go through it over and over and still realize that we are still far from the mark. But here, for instance, this is 50 Days of Praying Against Criticism. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And we're asked to pray for God to give you opportunities to be hospitable to people who need encouragement. And pray for your church to be a hospitable church. I appreciate Pastor Carvel's initiative to pray for God ideas and God opportunities. And we do pray that. And the quote from the Review and Herald that's included on that particular day, even among those who profess to be Christians, true hospitality is little exercised. Among our own people, the opportunity of showing hospitality is not regarded as it should be, as a privilege and a blessing. There is altogether too little sociability, too little of a disposition to make room for two or three more at the family board, without embarrassment or parade. Some plead that it's too much trouble. It would not be if you would say, we have made no special preparation, but you are welcome to what we have. By the unexpected guest, a welcome is appreciated far more than is the most elaborate preparation. I have a lot of appreciation for those in the church when we have fellowship dinner, or those that put on cooking classes and that kind of thing, because they have that gift of hospitality. And I guess I used to have it, but the season for the gift of hospitality in my life, I think, has run out. So I'm in a new season. Another thing that I've come to appreciate, and that is this prayer map of Canada. It's put out by a group called Every Home for Christ. I think its main office is in Ontario. I'm not sure which denomination it is, but it gives suggestions for prayers for every day. This morning, we prayed for new Canadians, that they would have opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel and place their faith in Jesus, according to John 5:24. And we're praying for God's kingdom to come in the life of someone you know today, according to the Lord's Prayer that we just recited. And then every couple of days, we're praying for one of the provinces, for the leaders of the province, for the churches of the province. We're praying for, our government leaders, those that are in position of authority and to make decisions. And so it still feels like it's not quite what it ought to be. Now, I was in a discussion with my daughter last night, and after listening to Pastor Lee Vendon and him wanting to have God wanting to have a personal relationship with us that is compared to a marriage, you know, between Christ and the church, she says, maybe our pastors should become marriage counselors. Maybe they should. Maybe they should realize that there are a lot of broken marriages, and it seems like our a relationship with God sometimes is kind of broken. This little book by Mary Geig called God Guides, she is a missionary to India, and her solution to every problem, what was it, Erna? To listen. Yep, to just go aside and just listen for God to speak to your mind. And she says no matter how long it takes, he always comes through with an answer that works. That works. So this morning we sang, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." You know, when the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and they were really sad because of what had happened, and a stranger joined them that they didn't recognize. But you know what this stranger did for them? He gave them spiritual heartburn. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked with us and talked with us along the road? And prayer is not just something that you do for a few minutes every morning or at the table for blessing, but it's a constant practicing the presence of God. Like Brother Lawrence, he said he was just as much at prayer when he was scrubbing the pots as he was when they had their prayer meetings. And so I would like for us to take some time to pray, I guess it's our habit to break off into groups of two or three and pray together for each other, for whatever the issues are of the day, or whatever is troubling people. But mostly to praise God for who he is. Scripture tells us that God inhabits the praise of his people. Would anybody like to share a praise that they have this morning before we separate? You don't need him. Right. I've come to appreciate what one of our pastors said about the experience of Job. God wasn't testing Job. Satan was testing Job, and God allowed it because he needed to let Satan know that what he believed about, what he said about Job was true. So some of the trials that we go through, maybe it's for the same reason. Maybe God's saying, well, I'll prove it. You just go ahead, you know. I'll prove it to you. Anyway, I just want to let us gather together at 2 or 3 and have a little session of prayer. And then we'll I'll close it off. To everything there's a season. Appreciate what you have while you have it. I had a friend who had a stroke last week, and they were able to give her medication to prevent or to minimize paralysis. But she still has some problems with a peripheral vision on one side. But she is hoping and praying that she'll still be able to drive when she gets out of the hospital. It could be that her driving days might be over. Maybe tomorrow my driving days might be over. Let us appreciate what we have while we have it, and go and make disciples. Is what Jesus has given us, that great commission. He says, come to me, and then go make disciples. May you be blessed, each one today, and may you be a blessing to someone. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. And thank you, Lord, that you make up for our shortcomings and our inadequacies. And we just want to be continually, have praise continually on our lips, that we might be influence on others to praise you as well. We know, Lord, that you have longed to have that personal relationship with us. And we also know that there are many out there wandering around in darkness that you want to have a relationship with as well. Help us, Lord, to be so full of love for you that our hearts will burn within us, and that others will see something different about us that makes them curious. I love the quote that John Bradshaw put up the other day from the WestJet founder that said, we've seen how you act, now we want to know how you believe. And so, Lord, may that be said of each one of us. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.